So we're reading Luke 23, verse 44 onwards to 49. That's on page 1065. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things.
Hi, Kieran. Thank you for a reading there. Please keep your Bible open. I haven't got a Bible with me, but I've written all the words in my book here because I've got some various visual aids and I need to be a little bit hands-free. The main verse that I want to draw our attention to is there, verse 46. Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Okay, I'm going to need three volunteers, I need three volunteers to help me with two props. The volunteers need to be of people of reasonable stature. You don't have to be too tall because I've got chairs for you to stand on. So actually I need your mum and dad's or your parents' permission to allow you to stand on a chair. And I've not done any sort of risk assessment of that. Certainly one of the things that's going to be held is quite heavy. So if someone who feels reasonably firm and strong in stature could volunteer to come and hold something. Martha, please come and stand here. Go on, you stand up on there. Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. And Nathan, why don't you come and stand here? Go on, stand up on there. Brilliant. Permission? Yeah, good. Good. Okay. I need another volunteer. There's only. Well, one hand's very, very keen here, so I'm going to go with you, Hannah. Come and say, permission to stand on a chair? No. Sorry, going to have to go back. Dad says no. Mum says yes. Let's have a vote. Do we go with Dad or Mum? Votes for Dad. Votes for Mum. Great. Okay, good. Right, there they are. Three wonderful volunteers. I've got two props. The first one is a curtain. So you're going to have to stand off the chair just for a moment because it's actually on the curtain. There we go. Yeah, up you go again. There we go. One curtain. Do you want to hold that? Hold that up just gently there. You don't want two hands because you're going to be there quite a while. Hold it up real high to start with like that. Good. Then now hold it down a little bit just to there. Hold it down to there. That's it. Fantastic. Two hands. Good. Are you feeling strong? Oh, yeah. All right. I better not go in front of the speaker there for this one. My wife said I couldn't do DIY. The young woman in Wicks found the story interesting of what I needed the wood for, but not quite as the person in the cloth shop thought my story was weird there, as I described that I was a vicar, and this is what I was doing on Friday, they looked at me blankly and thought, "Well, you're a daft man." Anyway, there we go. There's our props. Now I want you to use your imaginations. Okay? I want you to imagine the scene. imagine the scene. You may not believe it, so imagine it if it were true. If you don't believe it, imagine it being true. It is the middle of the day, but it is actually as dark as night. It is the most joyous day of Bible people up to this point. It's Passover, but it is also the bleakest day in all of human history. Imagine it. You got that in your minds? Jesus, the Son of God, the kindest, most perfectly pure and powerful and majestic and humble and loving one, is about to die on a cruel Roman cross. That's what's happening. I've got two props here. And these two props symbolize two different places. And at these two different places, there were two different happenings. Two places, two happenings, two people. And I want us to think about those just briefly now. First of all, the two places. The first place is this one. It's the temple in Jerusalem. The temple in Jerusalem. And the second place is a place of crucifixion outside of Jerusalem. Now I want to ask you a question. What do these two places have in common? What do they have in common? Death. Death. Absolutely right. This was a place where perfect lambs and bulls and sheep were slaughtered as sacrifices for people's sin. This place was a place where criminals were put to death. Robbers and murderers died here. Perfect sheep died here for sinful people. Two places. The two places are intrinsically linked. And the two happenings on that Good Friday are intimately and intrinsically linked as well. Two places, two happenings. Something happened in each place. And what was it that happened in the temple? Well, look at verse 45 if you've got your Bible open still there. Hold it. Hannah, you ready to hold it up so everyone can see? The curtain in the temple, look at verse 45. The curtain in the temple was torn in two. Now, behind the curtain, in behind here, no one was allowed to go. Shouldn't be there. It's called the Holy of Holies. This was the most precious, significant place on the entire planet. It is where the Holy God set his place of residence. And out of love, let me say that again, out of love, in the Holy God's character, out of love, he hates one thing, sin. And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So no human being could go in behind here without the Holy God in love judging them. Please don't believe that half-truth. God loves the sinner, but hates the sin. No, no. The sin and the sinner are attached to each other. Go in there, you don't come out alive. Once a year, the high priest could go in there, and he had to do a whole intricate bunch of cleansings and sacrifices so he could go in there one day in the year, and they tied a rope around him just in case he died in there. No one else could go in. They could pull him out. No one else went in. God's holy. Holy, holy love. Loving holiness. Enter. So again, you can put it down a little bit now. I felt like tickling you there, but I won't do that. Basically, the curtain was a big no entry sign. Enter at your peril. At a moment at the crucifixion, this curtain was torn in two. That meant that something happened here that meant we suddenly can enter in. So let's turn back to what happened in the other place over here. Look at verse 46. What happened in the other place? Verse 46 says this. Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. No one else in the entire Bible commended themselves, their spirits, to God when they died. Only Jesus, in all of the Bible, commended his spirit to God. Basically, no one took Jesus' life from him. He gave it up himself. It was voluntary. It was his choice. No one took his life from him. Jesus foretold, and you've got Luke's gospel open in front of you there. You're right. Are you happy to proceed? Good on you. Are you sure you're right? Never work with animals and children. You're doing all right? Okay. Back over here again after that little whoopsie. I don't know where I got to. Do you know where I got to? What was I saying? Jesus gives up his life. Is that where I got to? No one took him from him. No one took it from him. And I just said, you've got Luke's Gospels open in front of you there. You have. If you track back in Luke's Gospel, you'll find that Jesus says three times he foretells, prophesies, and speaks about his death upon the cross. Really significant moments. But there's something else significant that he says. Remarkably stunning, powerfully significant. Luke tells us about Jesus. And if you're taking notes, make a note of it. It's chapter 9, verse 51. When the day drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. See, he knew he was going to go and die. And basically, when it says he set his face to Jerusalem, it's kind of saying he set his face to go and die. No one took his life from him. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. Yeah, he died as a result of a betrayer's deceit, Judas. Yes, he died because of the religious elite's envy. Yes, he died because of Pilate's political shenanigans. Yes, he died because of the soldier's spear and nails. But he actually died because he gave himself. He gave up his spirit. See, it wasn't whimpering out. How did Jesus say, "Into your hands I commit my spirit"? What did he? Oh, into your hands I commit my spirit. Was it like that? Was it? "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Was it? Oh no, into your hands. What does it say? A loud voice. With a loud voice, he said, "Into your hands." It was purposeful, meaningful, meant. Not wimping right now. I want to put it like this. Jesus exhaled, breathed out his spirit, and simply refused to take the next breath. It's kind of like that. We're going to sing in a song in a moment. His final breath, he breathes for me. his final breath, he breathes for me and he breathes no more. That was what was happening here. And that's why this curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. The connection between the curtain and the cross, the very act, the very moment of Jesus laying down his life, dying like a criminal for sinners, that the curtain in the temple was ripped apart from top to bottom. Now, I just need you to hold that up a little bit. And I need someone to come and rip the curtain for me. Do you not hold it up again? If you want to come along and have a rip with it, you better have your dad with you to come and lift you up so you can hold on to that. Do you want to rip that apart from top to bottom for me? That's it, all the way. You can go in there. That's what's happening here. Architecture of many churches call this a rude screen. You can't go where communion is. Yes, you can. Fellowship. Eating bread and drinking wine, remembering the cross of Jesus. You can come, Daniel, me can come in the presence of the holy, loving God, of the lovingly holy God. Because he died for our sins. His final breath he breathed for me. Daniel, thank you. Can sit down. Two places, two happenings, two people. What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, into your hands. You can hold it down a little bit again now. Into your hands I commit my spirit. That actually is Psalm 31 verse 5. Father, says Jesus, that's a precious moment and a precious thing that he said. Precious moment between two members of the Trinity, the Father and the Son. The Son says, into your hands I commit my spirit. Earlier he had said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And now he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. A precious trust by God the Son in God the Father. Father, into your hands. See, in this darkest and most terrible moment, God still reigns. Nothing had slipped through the fingers of God. Into your safe hands I commit my spirit. The Father's still in control. The Father's safe hands to catch and to keep the Son. And these words spoke in Psalm 31 hundreds of years earlier. It's always been in the safe hands of the Father. His plan, his will. See, Jesus did not slip into a grave, a void, a dark unknown. He didn't slip into futility, into emptiness. He didn't slip into when I die, I rot. He didn't slip into agony and shame, but into the loving hands of the Father. I commit my spirit. I commit my spirit. Jesus' very being, him himself, the very core of him internal, committed to the Father for safekeeping. So I just got some very brief implications for us. And I think I'm going to allow you folks to sit down. So do you want to just jump down and just gently put that down? Let me take that off of you. Thank you so much. Just bear with me just for a couple of moments because there's some really important things to take home here, okay? So just listen in. We must trust Jesus to have breathed his final breath for us personally. We must. We must trust that final breath to have opened the gate of heaven and eternal life and the presence of the Holy God for you. You must do that personally. And if you don't, you must accept and must be content with the fact that you are choosing an eternity in which you actually lay down your own life. And I want to say that is not the choice to make when the Son of God has done that for you. Please don't make that choice. That's the first thing. The second thing is, like Daniel and myself a moment ago, we stepped in here. And there are all sorts of stories and examples and illustrations in Luke's gospel where people who are despised and rejected, and when they come into Jesus' presence, people go, oh no, why is he eating with them? Why is he fellowshipping with them? Luke's gospel's full of them. It's peppered with them. Like the woman in chapter 7 who is a sinful woman. She gate crashes a party and the guy who's running the party sees this woman all over Jesus' feet, washing his feet and worshipping him and giving Jesus all of her love. And Jesus, the guy whose party is in it, is just thinking in his head, if he only knew what she is, he'd be going, oh, get off me. And Jesus rebukes the guy who's running the party. And he says to the woman, your sins are forgiven. She comes into the Holy of Holies. She's the presence of her Saviour. We go to chapter 19 and Zacchaeus, despised, utterly horrible traitor. You would not have liked him. And when he comes down the tree and invites Jesus, well, Jesus invites himself round. Everyone else is grumbling. Oh, he's gone to eat with a sinner. Salvation has come to this house, Jesus says of Zacchaeus. It's all the way through the Luke's gospel. But this is what makes it all possible. So enjoy the moment. Accept the wonderful gift of being able to be in the presence of the loving, holy God, the holy, loving God. But if you don't choose that, accept this. Be content to accept that one day you will be in the presence of the Holy God. And without Christ, you enter into the presence of somewhere where you should not go and expect to live. You won't live. If you don't choose Christ, please be content in your mind to know what you are choosing instead. And say, in your mind, I'm happy to run with that. Are you? Jesus hangs there on the cross and says, over my dead body, don't do that. I breathe my final breath for you. Father, that is a precious, precious name that we have for God. My precious Father in heaven, amazingly, I am precious to you. That's the next thing we can say. This quote from Jesus, Psalm 31, verse 5. This now means that we can pray that psalm. I and you can say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. In Christ, I can say it. Into your hands, in the darkest moment of my own sin, in the darkest moment of your sin, in the most tearful and frightening moment of your life, nothing, 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 nothing has slipped through the Father's fingers. Nothing. Into his hands you can commit your spirit, your life, your past, your present, your future. However dark it is, however terrible it is, it has not slipped through your Father's hands. Please believe that. However I feel, I will never step into a void once I know Christ. I will never step into a grave that is just a grave. I will never step into the dark unknown. Please say this in your heart now. I'll never step into futility or meaningless. I'll never have to believe or go down the line of, when I die, I rot. No agony, no shame, but the loving hands of your Father. I commit my spirit, my very being, my very self. I commend and commit to you my past for redemption. My past for redemption. My present for hope, for joy, for freedom, for holiness, for obedience, for love, for beauty, for life. My future for hope and eternal life. For present eternal with the holy loving God, the lovingly holy God. Please take Good Friday to heart. It is, I think, the most precious of days. In my job, it is my favourite day. And what I have shared with you today is my favourite things I want to share. In all the Bible. And I don't do my job just simply because I'm paid. I do it because Christ loves me. And he's opened the gate so that I can fellowship with him and with you today. Isn't that wonderful? Well, there's no better song to sing, I think, than "It's Finished." I finished. You've not. You're going to stand and sing. Let's stand, let's sing.